Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. Listen, we are so excited to have all of you that are tuning in, that are joining us right now. Listen, the phone lines, we see you, hello, waving virtually. We see the phone lines filling up now. Hello to all those that are coming in from Charvette.com, those that are coming in from Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, all of our broadcast stations. We say hello and thank you so much for joining us here for another phenomenal show. And let me tell you what, I could not have orchestrated this show any better than I did today, and certainly I think God had a hand in orchestrating the show. So let me tell you who we have on the show. We're going to open up the show back by popular demand. She's hanging out in the virtual green room, going to be joining me up to the mic in a moment. Dr. Nikita Garris Watson is joining us back again. Listen, she's a licensed and ordained minister of the gospel. She's a pastor, an intercessor, a prophet, a conference preacher and speaker, and now we proudly add published author to the list there. You're going to get to hear inside scoop about this newly released book, Damaged But Destined. So what? Now what? You're going to get to hear all about it. And listen, then in our second segment, we have three phenomenal women from Central Virginia who are all cancer survivors. So that's what I'm talking about. I could not have orchestrated this show any better. This is a show about survivors today. This is all about those that have survived and are surviving. And so we have three dynamic women that are joining us to share their story of survivorship. And they are also here representing the Sisters Network, Inc., Central Virginia Division, which is an African-American breast cancer survivorship organization, and they've got some great things coming up here in Central Virginia and in Richmond, Virginia, we want to let you know about, but we want to highlight, celebrate, and honor these survivors. So this is what I want you to do. Jump on Twitter, jump on Facebook, wherever you are. Tell them what you're listening to. Give them the link. Say y'all need to be listening in right now on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. So let's move right on into our first segment. Again, Dr. Nikita Garris Watson is joining us, and it's so great to be able to feature people that are in Richmond with me. I get to talk to people all over the country, but today's show I'm talking to people that are right here in the city, people I'm able to touch, feel, see. I can tell you they're real, they're authentic, and all of that. And so she is here, this awesome book, not a biography, but I'm telling you, opening up her life to share her life stories, Damaged But Destined. So what, now what? What do you do when you have questions? What do you do when you are not created in love, birthed in love, or spend a lifetime trying to redefine and understand what it means to be loved? Questions. These are all questions and a part of Dr. Nikita's journey, and she's here with us right now. Bringing her up to the mic, Dr. Nikita Garris Watson, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Elder Charvette. Thank you for allowing me to come back and share sacred airspace with you again. I am honored.
It is my honor. And I want to just go ahead and jump right on in and talk about this book. Can you believe it? Can you believe that your book is burst out into the atmosphere now?
I cannot. It is 8 years in delay, 8 years of coming into obedience. So God had a plan, and I had to come into alignment. And so it's still numb. I'm still numb. I have it in my hands. I'm looking at it. I'm hearing about it, but it's still not real. I'll be very honest. It's still not real.
Yeah. Still not real. And so what was the catalyst that, you know, after this, through this 8-year period of you saying, okay, I've got to share, you know, share my story. And many of those that are referenced in the book still alive, still present, so that, you know, that could mm-hmm. be touchy. What was the thing mm-hmm. that said, okay, I've got to do it now?
That was actually the hindrance to it all, was that people were alive, people were present, it would have impacts. And so that was my argument with God, was, God, I didn't want my story to come across to hurt anybody. But God said, if you tell the story, I will get the glory. And so it was after writing and debating and crying out, it was God that had to convince me. And he would send words, and I have the utmost respect for the prophetic, but God really had to deal and dig into me. And finally, I just submitted. And I had to say, God, I trust you. I trust you with my story. I trust you that you've done enough healing in me to be able to tell the story objectively and to show how great you are. And if my story could save somebody's life, if my story could be used to bring him glory, then I had to be willing. I was willing to be a living epistle that people could touch, that they could see God, that God can really save a life. So it
Amen.
Took a lot of convincing. Yeah.
A lot of convincing, and your dedication definitely highlights, you know, who you wrote the book for, and your, you know, objective. And then I quote, you know, this is dedicated to those who endure the damage of life that others would use to deem you as destroyed, but that God instead is using to shape your destiny. So that damage to destiny, how did you come up with, you know, with that as the title?
I preached it as a message probably about now 8 years ago. But when I, even in formulating that message, I thought about when I was growing up, we used to go to this place called the Salvage Bond. And when we would go to the Salvage Bond, everything in there was dented or misshapen or maybe even had rips in it, but I guess we went there so much that I didn't even realize that cans came without dents. But it never changed the flavor. It didn't change the usefulness. It was the exterior that was damaged, but it was the interior that was still good. And so that's what God gave me. Sometimes the exterior may be damaged, but the interior is still good for usage. What people see sometimes is that exterior, but you don't realize what God's doing on the interior. And so I really began to, when I wrote that message, it was so personal for me that I've held on to it.
Yeah.
And when you preach certain messages, well, all messages preach to you first. And I realized that if I looked at what I'd been through, if I had given weight to what I had experienced, even in life, people have tried to disqualify, discredit me based on certain criteria. But because God had a plan, because God had a purpose, I still had destiny. And so, you know, even with scars, you can see some of my physical scars, but my scars also are a testament to my survival. So damage for destiny. I'm not denying the damage, but I'm claiming the destiny.
Amen. Amen. And those dented up cans of corn and those dented up mm-hmm. cans mm-hmm. of glory greens and those dented up cans of whatever still taste good, still
yes,
cook
taste
just
good.
Like anything yes, else. Uh-huh. What a awesome analogy to make that practical for people to grasp and connect. Listen, we've got shout outs already. Paula Brooks Hackney shouting out VSU, stand up, must be Virginia State University.
Yes.
The alumni
yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Virginia State, and all of those that have shared and are tuning in and listening in here. If you just tuned in, hey, you're right on time. We are chatting it up here in an author spotlight. Author spotlight with Dr. Nikita Garris Watson, Damaged but Destined. So what, now what? Now that's the part I can see, hand on the hip. So what, now what? Tell me about that piece we had to add on.
So what, when you think about it, unfortunately, my story is the norm. And so one of the questions I had to ask God was, so what? Why am I writing a story when there are so many others who could articulate it with a greater level of giftedness, or others who could tell the story with journalistic abilities. And God, I was like, so what? So what? I have went through this. So what? And that was my question. And my editor, Rebecca Lynn Pierce, who was phenomenal, and when we started talking about the story and putting it together, it was like, so what? Why write this story? And that was a real question I had for God. I'm a realist. I tell people I have a lot of faith, and God has grown my faith, but I'm still like, now what? Things happen. We cry. We go through. But it's that now what? I've been through it. I've faced it. I've endured it. But now that it's happened, what am I going to do with it? A lot of people get stuck. They get stuck at that last hurt. They get stuck at the last breakup. They get stuck at the last place where the enemy came for them. And that's where the now what? Because we can cry, but now what? We can run and we can praise, but now what? Prayer is just a precursor to action in my life. And so it was that now what? Now that you have endured it, what are you going to do with it? We like to quote what the enemy intended for evil, God will use for my good. And so let's go to the God use it for my good portion of our lives. So that's where that so what, now what. And it does have a little swag, a little spiritual attitude, now what. Because that's kind of how I face the enemy. Things happen, and, you know, even after writing the book, even today, crazy things were happening. But it was like, okay, now what you're going to do? Because that's kind of how it is. Now that it's happened, what are you going to do about it?
My goodness. And don't get stuck at that last place of hurt. Don't get stuck. Mm-hmm. That's powerful right there. I was watching Law and Order one night, a special victims unit, and it was at the end of the episode, and a young lady who had experienced abuse and a lot of stuff, and she was saying to one of the detectives, I don't know if I can go on. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And the detective said, you survived the abuse. Surely you can survive the recovery. So,
that's good.
And so that's what I kind of feel from the book, which I have, ladies and gentlemen, and have been reading. So let's talk a little bit more. It's interesting how you say you point out and you clarify for the reader that it's not an exhaustive biography, but more so a collection, you know, of critical moments. And you tried to write it in chronological order, but things kind of went a little bit different way. Talk a little bit about that part.
Well, first of all, I'm 43. I always joke and say I'm, you know, 25 plus, but I'm 43 years old. There's no way to tell 43 years worth of my life in one book without it being, especially unabridged. And so in learning and listening, I'm going to refer back to Rebecca Lynn Pierce again, who just was such a critical portion. When I first talked to her about what God was telling me to do, the first thing she said to me was, this is not an autobiography because you're not dead and you have too much life left in you. And that really was an eye-opener for me, because going in, you know, thinking I needed to write everything, she freed me in that moment. And then I wanted to, because I'm a type A personality. I'm sequential in my life. I'm an administrator to the core. I do things in order. And so I felt like in order to tell the story, it needed to be in order. But I found that it had to be grouped a certain way. And as I was retelling it and writing it and rewriting moments, that sequential order wasn't necessarily working. And so it became grouping things together. I wanted the reader to still be able to follow it, but I couldn't go, you know, A, B, C, D the way I wanted to. I had to just talk about this particular piece, exhaust it. I had to exhaust that piece and then go to the next piece and exhaust that piece. So I had to make sure that the reader understood what was happening, that it wasn't necessarily that you would maybe read something here and then see it again in another portion. So that's how it's written. And the names were changed to protect the innocent and the not-so-innocent. But only names that were, I didn't change my grandmother's name, who people will come to really know, and I didn't change. There's a family called the White family that I talk about later in the book. I kept their names because I felt like they deserve to have their real names told. But for the most part, I changed my husband's name, James, my baby. His name is the same, but everybody else's name hasn't changed.
Yes.
Everybody else's names have been changed, yeah.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, just in case anyone is listening about that. And certainly a shout out to Rebecca Lynn Pierce, publisher friends of the show. Mm-hmm. So we shout her out. Thank you so much. And so while people are listening, I know we're whetting their appetites. I'm getting ready to ask a few more questions, listeners, but tell them where they can pick up a copy of your book.
Well, they have a couple options. If they want the hard copy, they can just type in damagefordestined.com and order it. I can ship them out. If they can't wait for the hard copy, which is fine with me, and they want the ebook, they can shoot right over to Amazon. I am so, so excited. I actually checked my numbers before I came on here. That's a Rebecca Lynn Pierce thing, too. So I checked my numbers when it first went on Amazon last week. It was number 19 in the category. Today it's number 7. So thank you to everybody that's been buying it. We're trying to get number 1. You know, I serve a God that can do it, so we want number 1. So it's number 7 right now in the e-books in the category. So if they want the e-book, they can go to Amazon. If they want the hard copy with signature, they want my signature, they have to order from Damage for Destin. It's also available on Amazon by print, so it's out there. Haven't gotten to Apple yet, but we'll get there before the month is over. So those are the three options. But damagefordestined.com. If they inbox me, I'll send them an invoice. We'll make it happen. Or I'll be like old school. You know how you had your mixtapes in your trunk? I'll have them in my trunk.
Yeah. Listen, by any means necessary, you can get this book, listeners.
Yeah.
You can have this book. Yes, and we want you to have it. And so the book opens up, and you describe, and listeners, I want you to get the book, because I'm not going to give you all the juicy details. I'm going to wet you. I'm going to give you some appetizers. We can whet your appetite. But I am leaving cliffhangers on purpose. But the book opens up and talking about certainly very vulnerable time in your life, very tough times, abuses, violations that mm-hmm. you describe. But there's a point where you get to your salvation story, your salvation experience, and mm-hmm. you leave church and you're wondering, does this mean, will I finally feel clean? Will I finally mm-hmm. feel free from these repeated mm-hmm. memories, the physical abuse, abandonment, rejection? Mm-hmm. But you found that the salvation experience left more questions than answers. Talk about that time mm-hmm. period and somebody that might be in that place right now.
What I would learn for myself was that salvation really was just the beginning of the process. It gave me access to help that I needed, but it wasn't the end of the help that I needed. I would have to really get to know me. I would have to get to know God. I would have to permit myself to be opened up to the healing process. I didn't stop being angry because I got saved. I didn't stop being hurt. I didn't stop sinning. There was a literal process that I had to go through, because now we're talking about the Romans 12:2, the be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God had to literally change my mind about so many things. When I got saved, I had been thinking a certain way, living a certain way, focused a certain way for so long that now all of that had to be detoxed and readjusted. And, you know, we talk about paradigm shifts, and people have made paradigm shifts where folks are expecting the world to shift. No, paradigm shifts is a change of thinking, which means everything about me had to change and realign itself now to this new lifestyle. That took years. It took years. I was still trying. I had now been spending all of my life protecting myself. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get to know a God who was saying, I will protect you. I'll cover you. In the book, it talks about the daddy damage. So here I am with people telling me to love God as a father when I don't know what that love means. I don't know how to embrace that. So it was literally a process of getting to know God, wanting to know God. But the good thing about it was that as much as I wanted to know God, God wanted me to know him. And he kept coming for me, didn't let me go. There were moments after being saved, it's in the book, and it talks about the moment that I was standing in church, and I'd made the statement in my mind, didn't say it out loud, that was going to be my last day in church. I couldn't live saved. It was too much for me. I'm done. I quit. That was my statement was, at the end of this service, I'm not ever going back to church. And the preacher stands up that day, and he preaches, don't quit. And then he begins, everything I had just prayed or said in my mind is a part of his opening statement. And so God was so strategic, and it really helped with processes. That's why I'm the type of preacher that I am, is I try to understand the process of where people are. Everybody's not in the same place. And when we respect that, we can meet people where they are and help them to get to God.
Yes, and I wanted to bring that out because I wonder if as the church we have not made it clear that the salvation experience is a process. I wonder if we haven't done a good enough job to say some of this may take some years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of this
mm-hmm.
is the beginning of the answers. How as a church, how do we help people through this, these type of experiences, and just salvation in general?
I think as a church, we have to be real. One of my concerns, and everybody won't agree, is I think we introduce people to church before we really help them to know Christ. People have to know Christ mm-hmm. first. It's not what they're wearing. It's not what they're doing. It's allowing them, teaching them Christ, it being the evidence of Christ. The more I knew Christ, everything else about me began to change. My appearance changed. My words changed. If we harp in, we teach them titles. We teach them reverence for people, but we haven't taught them reverence for the God that saved them.
Oh,
that's
my.
More important. We come in and we demand something they don't understand. It's not a magical thing. We deny some. I think people have denied for so long what people are going through. They've been trying to hide and cover stuff that people are coming to church and going home hurt. Now we need to really deal with those hurts. We need to deal with the disappointment. We need to deal with all of those things. Because the Word of God says, all I get is get understanding. God doesn't mind us asking questions. He doesn't mind us coming to him. He said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. My truth was I was angry with God. My truth was I was disappointed in God. We have to let people deal with their truths, and then they can have real
yeah.
relationship. We want them to put on airs, and then wonder why they never get close. It has to be their truth. And then help them with their truth. You can still have reverence and still be true. But
oh, you can still have reverence and still be true. That's good.
Still be true. Mm-hmm. It still be true. We need to tear down some of our idols in the church, and I might include people. God is that. God is the ultimate. God is the source. God is the strength. And so we need to empower people to go for God. My whole thing is if they never remember my name, never remember the word, but if they get closer to God, then the assignment has been done, because that's what's going to matter. That's what's going to keep them in the midnight hour when they're about to do something crazy. Our messages have to be real. We have to be transparent to the point where people know that, yeah, God is working, not to the point where we put our brokenness on people, but where we put our hope on people.
Oh, put our hope on people. Listeners, you are listening to Dr. Nikita Garris Watson right here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, author of Damaged But Destined. Tell them one more time where they can get a copy of your book.
Sure. They can go to DamagedButDestined.com. They can order it. I'll be shipping them out. All of those that are ordered from DamagedButDestined.com, I will personally be signing. If they want the e-books, because I know a lot of people are in the e-books. I'm still old school. I like to highlight. But the
uh-huh.
e-book is available on Amazon. And likewise, I will be doing my book signing on Friday, September 16th at Pork Chop and Grit. So they can come on through, and I'll have them there
okay.
as well. Or if they catch me on the side of the road, well, I might be able to sell it out the back of my car. So it's available anywhere they want to get it.
Yes, listen, you just need to go to Pork Chops and Grits, if for nothing else, to get a spoonful of something. A big shout out to Bishop Kendall, Pork Chops
yes.
and Grits, right over off of Parham Road. You guys definitely in the capital city of Richmond need to check out soul food, real, real good soul food. So, and then certainly go for the book signing. All right, so there's a part in the book where you know, you talk about you change schools a lot of transition just kind of during that educational period, and you learned the art of being hidden in plain sight to avoid the bullies and to avoid that being hidden in plain sight and not drawing attention to yourself. Do you think that there are other adults like that and they started as children, that kind of learning to be hidden in plain sight, and it has carried over into adulthood?
Absolutely sure. I'm absolutely sure that there are those sitting right in our churches. They're hidden in plain sight. And because no one is paying attention or has discernment, the needs of those are being missed. The hurt is being missed. The pain is being missed because people are not, they're hidden in plain sight. We learn how to be chameleons. We blend in because you don't want that attention. One of the things that concerns me is that attention typically would draw attack. And so I will withdraw from attention because I didn't want the attacks. And I'm not completely delivered from that. I still don't particularly care for a lot of attention because it does bring with it attacks. I've just gotten stronger in how I handle them. But we do, as an adult, that becomes the precursor to why some people haven't walked in their greatness because they've had to be quiet for so long. Nobody gave them permission to be great or gave them permission to speak their truth or gave them permission to have a voice. And sometimes people need to be told, you have a voice, you matter. But that's why we as believers, we have to be in tune. We have to pay attention to what's going on around us, watch faces, watch body language, watch our children even. My daughter, Sasha, my youngest daughter, Sasha, when she was younger, she wouldn't go to everybody. And one of the things I'm concerned about is when parents force children to hug and kiss people. I never did that to my children because I believe that children have a high sense of discernment. And so I watch her body language. I always have. And so I still do it with other people. I watch body language because you can tell when people are uncomfortable. And there's a difference between attention, because some people just want attention, and some people really are timid. And so we ask for discernment so that we can recognize those that are hidden in plain sight, those that are hurting and hidden in plain sight, those that are bleeding, hidden in plain sight, so that those that are being abused, hidden in plain sight. That is important that we are able to recognize them.
Yes. Well, phenomenal, phenomenal. Oh, my goodness, my time is running out. I got to run like a racehorse, as my bishop would say. But I've got to, there was a powerful statement in the book, later part in the book. You were carrying your son, a relationship that was kind of going south. And one critical thing you said in the book, I quote, fresh wounds would mate with old wounds, producing a new bitterness in me that would take more years than expected to heal from. Fresh wounds would mate, become one with old wounds. Talk about that. That just blew my mind because I don't think we think about how old stuff is still kind of lingering, and then it gets with the new stuff and it compounds on itself. Talk about that.
I am a strong advocate of being healed. Because I entered into my first marriage unhealed. I entered in with so much hurt and damage that I suppressed it, but I was not delivered. And so when new things were happening, they were meeting, and it was creating another level of anger, another level of bitterness. And so in essence, I was angry about something old and something new, and the person became the target for both of them because I wasn't delivered. And so God made sure that deliverance had to take place, because if not, if we don't deal with the old thing, all it's doing is pour salt into the wound, or it reopens the wound that's not, it's not scabbed over, it's not healed. And so the infection, so whatever's around you infects you, affects you, and it causes you to affect others. And so it was just getting, the two had married themselves together. And now I was walking around in a ball of anger, bitterness, brokenness, because I had never gotten healed from before these things had happened, and it was passing on. It would become generational if I had not broken it.
My goodness. So you can see, listeners, so many things that you can pull and glean from this book that Dr. Nikita has so graciously been vulnerable enough to put out to the world to help us all. Listen, we're getting shout outs from Facebook. Author LaTanya Boyd is listening in. She said, yes, good word. Hashtag rock your book. You have a voice. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, author LaTanya Boyd. That's good to pay attention to your children's body language. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Damaged but destined. So what? Now what? You got to pick it up. Let's push it up. Let's get to that one spot on Amazon. Dr. Nikita C. Garris Watson. You got to get it. Listeners, I'm telling you what, it is powerful. How can people connect with you on social media?
They can, if they type in Dr. Key or Dr. Nikki Figueres Watson, I have two pages. I actually have, now have to have two pages, not because I'm that grand, because God, but because God is great. So there's
right.
a Nikita Figueres Watson, and there's a Nikita Figueres Watson 2 because the first page was full. My church page is WDWM.org. They can find me. Just put my name in there, Dr. Key, and everything I have pops up. Or they can just email me at PastorKey@Yahoo.com. I answer everything in as quickly as I can. I can't say I'm a 24-hour person anymore. I used to try to answer everything in 24 hours, but life has gotten a little busy. So as soon as I can, I do try to answer anything that I receive. And they can inbox me if a page is full. Depending on what's going on, I can make room on the page. So it happens, yeah.
Awesome. And I've tagged on Twitter, listeners, and I have tagged on Facebook. So I know you're following me, twitter.com/Charvette, on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. All of them are public posts. You can connect with us at charvette.com. And listen, the story ends well, listeners. Story, I use that lightly. Happily married, beautiful children.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, a church. Big shout out. We got to give a shout out to your church.
Yeah,
now, that is. Talk about squad goals. Talk about church goals. Like, this is squad goals right here. Please give a shout out to your church and let people know how they can come worship with you.
Please let me shout out, because my church is my squad. I love working with Worldwide Ministries in Petersburg, Virginia. I love you all. I got to shout out my husband, Bishop Designate James E. Watson. That is the answer to my prayers wrapped in flesh. That's my squad. My church is my squad, because God knew what I needed. So, big love to all of them. Thank you, Charvette Mitchell. I love you. I appreciate you. And thank you all, everyone who's been listening. I am honored.
Oh, it's been my honor to feature you. I'm glad I just got in early before all of the other Oprah interviews and NBC and CBS and Dateline and all of that. I can pull my link out and say, here, I got mine as well.
Yes.
vice versa. Amen. Great. Well, we will certainly keep taps on you and just keep connecting with you, and wish continued success for your ministry and your next books and all that, because I know this can't be just one. I know that there's more.
If it goes according to plan, the second one of the series, Damage for Destiny, the Deliverance Journal, should be coming out in about 2 weeks. So that's going to be provoked by the Proverbs. So I'm trying to close it out now. So maybe by the signing, I hope to have it in my hands, but if not, shortly thereafter.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. All right. Listeners, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back. I'm telling you what, you don't want to move. We are really excited as well. I told you today's show is just about survivors. So we just finished talking to Dr. Nikita, who is a survivor, and we are wrapping up and going into our second segment. Really excited to feature some dynamic ladies that are joining us from Sisters Network, Inc. of Central Virginia. There's multiple chapters. We have Central Virginia joining us, representing in the house. I'm telling you what, Carlene Hamlin, Gloria Wilkins, and Barbara Brown. They're hanging out in the virtual green room. All females, all ladies that are cancer survivors. They're going to share their story and talk about an upcoming event, September 24th. They're hosting their first Gift for Life block walk and community health fair. And listen, you're just going to get to hear all about it. So we're going to a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back. Don't you move.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, with in-depth interviews from today's leading author, gospel artist, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
Spiritual Food for Thought. 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day by LaTanya Boyd consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day. Available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. log on to www.lateeboyd.com.
Introducing contemporary gospel artist Deani with the new hit debut single titled The Blood on Remare Records.
Oh, they slay me, crucify me. I have been washed in the blood, I'm bleeding.
Purchase Deani's new hit single on iTunes, Amazon in February. Once again, be sure to check out contemporary gospel artist Deani with the new hit debut single titled The Blood on Remare Records. Follow Deani on Twitter, Facebook, by going online to DeaniMusic.com. That's spelled DeaniMusic.com. That's DeaniMusic.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, welcome back again to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world, wide web. Hello to all those that are hanging out with us still on the phone lines. We say thank you for joining us. We're moving right on in. Right now to our second segment, I'm bringing three dynamic ladies up to the mic right now. They've been hanging out in the virtual green room. I'm bringing them up on air right now. Hello, hello, ladies of Sisters
Hi.
Network of Central
Hi,
VA. Charlotte. Welcome. How y'all
Hi.
Doing today?
Thanks for having us.
Just fine.
Wonderful. So do I have Miss Hamlin, Miss Wilkins, and Miss Brown?
Yes, Barbara Brown is here.
And Carly Hamlin is here.
All right. Great. We have everyone here. And so thank you so much for stopping by the show, and love to have you all chat with us. Let's start off just talking a little bit about Sisters Network, Inc. of Central Virginia. What is this organization about? And Ms. Brown, I'm going to have you take that one. Tell us a little bit about this organization.
Well, Sisters Network Central Virginia, that's the chapter that we are representing tonight. However, we have our national organization, which is Sisters Network National Organization, and we are one of the 40 chapters of the national organization. We have about 3,000 members throughout the United States, and actually, we believe that early detection is the best key against breast cancer. And so what we try to do is to go out into the community and educate other women, particularly African-American women, about the devastating impact that breast cancer has on the African-American community. And our creed is, in unity there is strength, in strength there is power, and in power there is change. But the greatest part of the organization is that our motto is, stop the silence, because for so long people have not talked about breast cancer, and you
yeah.
find that the more you talk about it and become more educated about a breast cancer, then that sort of strengthens your chances of survival. And so we've been organized since 2005 here in Richmond. We just celebrated, I think this is our 11th year working in the Richmond community.
Phenomenal, phenomenal, and what a great network that, you know, you have support all over the country.
We do. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so let's talk about that. So that awareness piece. So, Ms. Hamlin, talk a little bit about the you know, options people have of where to get checked. What ages should they start getting checked? Any of that information you can share?
Oh, sure, Chevette. First of all, we try to get, like Barbara said, to the communities that may not be aware of what they need to do to prevent breast cancer. So we usually canvass door to door during our breast cancer walk, and we touch like 1,000 doors. And we try to educate the woman right at the door. We ask her her age and if she had a breast exam in the last year, and if she does self-exams every month. And based on what she tells us, we do a survey right there at the door. And that's one of our main things that we have to accomplish during our breast cancer walk. And breast cancer, we have a support group, and we try to instill in all of our people that come to the support groups that breast cancer is not a death sentence, not at all. And the first thing you do is get care. Go to your primary care doctor, and she will or he will tell you how to get started.
Absolutely, and you all, yes, and I was just going to say, you all are witnesses that it is not a death sentence.
Yes.
You all are individual witnesses.
Witness
yes.
I've had breast cancer 4 times since 2005. That's when I joined Sisters Network in 2005 when I first had my first breast cancer. And it has been very beneficial to me because the sisters, we all get together, we share, we talk.
Yeah.
And like Barbara said, stop the silence is our motto.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk and share with other people. We're always speaking in the communities. We share with different churches. And since I mentioned church, we worship together every 4th Sunday, all together at a different church every month.
Oh, that's
And we
blessed.
Set up a table to pass out breast health information.
And
we're always
usually
invited to outreaches. And
yes.
We just do a lot of sharing with the breast health information because we try to instill in people that breast cancer, like I said, is not a death sentence, but you have to be aware. We try to make them aware of breast cancer. And it's all about the first step, and that first step being is to do your self-exam, go to see your primary care doctor, get an exam by a professional physician, and like I said, get examined first, and then they'll take it from there based on what the exam shows. But you also have to do your self-exam at home. And be knowledgeable of what's going on with your own body. And did you have another question?
No. What I wanted to add to what Carlene said, she said that there is life after breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes,
I am. I am currently a 27-year breast cancer survivor.
Yes.
27
Woo-hoo!
Years. Amen. A lot to celebrate. However, because of the fact that I do have or I have had breast cancer, I have 2 daughters, and I believe that one is 52, the other one's 46, and I would say that they have been getting their mammograms. They probably started in their 30s or less than that. So they've been getting them for years, mainly because I had breast cancer. And so sometimes it's hereditary. So it's very important that the siblings of the persons with the breast cancer, that they start getting their mammograms early, too.
Yes.
Earlier than the recommended age.
Awesome point to make there. So if there's any family history, then you want to be extra caution in that area. And so how, if someone's listening and they want to be a part of the network, how do they join? How do they link up with you all?
Well, I tell you, we do have our sister's house, and it's located at 105 East Clay Street here in Richmond. Now, the phone number is 804-447-4027. And someone is there, I believe, Monday through Thursday.
No, Tuesday Carly, through Thursday.
Tuesday through Thursday,
From 10 to 2.
From 10 to 2. And you can leave a message if no one's there, and someone will definitely get back with you. And particularly, we'd like to know if you want to come to the support meetings, and they are held on the 3rd Sundays at 4:30 after our regular meeting.
Okay, so there's support meetings, and is the network just for women who have been diagnosed and survived, or is this anyone that just wants to support the community and wants to help?
Well, we have
different
because we have different levels of membership, right, Colin? We have the members, the survivors, and then we have associate members, who mm-hmm. are part of the organization, but they have not had breast cancer. And then we have volunteers. So there are some people who like to come only because they know of someone who's had breast cancer and in support of that person.
Right.
So they're welcome to come.
Great. All right. And so let's talk about this upcoming event, Saturday, September 24th. Going to be mm-hmm. right here in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so, Ms. Hamlin, let's start with you, and then we'll go to Ms. Brown.
Yes.
It's the first community health fair. So tell us what's going to be happening during the community health fair.
Yes, Chevette, we usually have a walk where we go door to door, but in this day and time, people have problems opening their door because they don't know who it is, they don't know what you
yeah.
want. So we decided to put a different spin on it this year. We're having a community health fair, and at that health fair, we're inviting everyone to come out and enjoy the festivities. We have music, we have food, we have things for children to do, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of entertainment, and vendors are going to be out there. Now, what we're trying to do is to satisfy our goal of getting the surveys done. That's what we do when we do the walk. But we want the community to come to us, and we're going to approach them right there at the Bill Bojangles Park and get a survey on them. So it gives us an idea who's doing what, who has, how old they are, if they're doing their exams, if they had a mammogram. That's what the survey does for us. And we send those to national. And everybody's having a problem getting their surveys now. So that's why we're doing this different spin, to just have a big homecoming, like, or just invite everybody to the park. And it's going to be wonderful. We are real excited about it.
Phenomenal.
Community health fair, and it's not just one. It's going to be the communities all across Richmond.
Let me just add, Colleen, that it is going to be, as she stated, at Bill Robinson Recreational Park. Now,
right.
for a lot of persons, they might not know where it is, but it's at 825 North 35th Street in East End, Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
And as she said, we have been doing the Gift of Life Block Walk, but now it's a combined effort with the health fair. Now, she stated that there will be a lot of vendors. There will be health vendors, and we will be giving our life-saving health-related information. Now, also, Colleen talked about mammograms. There will be a mobile mammogram van at the health fair. It's the University of UVA's mobile mammogram van, and it will be available for women to receive free mammograms on site. But
mm-hmm.
Women have to pre-register by September the 9th.
And they can call the sister house at that number,
804-447-4027,
to register. And that's between the hours of 10 and 2, Tuesday through Thursday.
Now, at the health fair, we will have teams of persons there representing different organizations and groups, and registration will be from 10 to 2 for the
mm-hmm.
persons in the community, and the cost will be $20 per person or $50 per person for groups of 10 or more. And with this registration fee, you're going to get a continental breakfast, you'll get lunch, and you get a T-shirt as long as the quantities last. And as Colleen said, you can contact Sisters Network at the number that we have just given.
Now, listeners, you all know you can't go anywhere and get a T-shirt, continental breakfast, and lunch for $20. So clearly, this is a complete steal. So that is, you need to jump on that. And then I love that you said you all have the group rate. So if there's a group, maybe it's a church group, a different type of
mm-hmm.
women's group, sorority,
oh, yeah.
groups of 10 or
yeah.
more. you can get in for 15 per person for groups
right.
of 10 or more. And so you want to get there early, because if you want the shirts, they, you know how we do. Y'all don't wait till 1:45 coming in there talking
mm-hmm.
about where's your T-shirt. No,
no,
10 a.m.
We've always had at least 200 survivors, I mean 200 volunteers all the
yeah.
time. At every walk or every function like this we have. So they better come early.
Yeah, come early. And
are
there other things?
Together
that
and register.
Yeah, and register. So what can you tell us about some of the other health vendors that's going to be there? So we got the mobile mammograms. What other types of tables will be there for information?
Let me see. I didn't particularly get the table list, but we always have somebody taking blood pressures,
yeah,
okay.
diabetes test, and we have tables from different vendors that, you know, have different things, like wellness type things.
Yeah, quite frequently, Bon Secours will support us.
Oh, yes, they have a table.
Yes, yes uh-huh. And a lot of women would want to know that. Stepping Stones will be there. That's the
prosthesis
for you.
Company
yeah,
that
you,
we deal with.
Yeah, you can get the prosthesis and the bras after surgery.
Oh.
They're usually there. And so we are expecting quite a few of health vendors to be there.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't completed the list yet, but it's way up there
yes.
already.
Yes.
All right. So, listeners, you just come on out. And actually, I believe, let's see here, Ms. Gloria Wilkins, I believe,
uh-huh.
is back with us in the green room. So let me just
uh-huh.
go here and bring her back on up to the mic. Ms. Wilkins, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much. We got you back in. Uh-huh. We did not want to leave you out at all. Certainly, we're talking here about the upcoming event, and you probably have heard some of it. Anything extra you want to add in just around your experience with, you know, the past walks and how this big community fair, health fair, is coming together?
Yes, I almost said they will be also getting jazz, gospel. We have some praise dancers that's going to be on stage, which is from my church, Fifth Baptist Church.
Oh.
And we're going to have jazz. And it's going to be a wonderful evening. I mean, morning and afternoon. And they're going to have a kids'
okay.
zone.
Wow. Okay, so you've got the mobile mammogram. There's going to be gospel. There's going to be jazz. There's going to be a kids' zone. There's
uh-huh.
vendors. Oh, my goodness. So this is really a community event.
Yes,
it is.
Yes. And might I also add that this event will bring income to Sisters Network to help us carry out our program in the city of Richmond. And so when the teams are putting up their monies, you know, it's income for the organization to help us to continue, as I said, here in the work in the city. And may I just share with you some of the things that we do with the money that comes in?
Yes, yes.
Because the community people person would like to know. Well, as I say, we do have a sister house that is located 105 East Clay Street. And it's a lovely house that has a serenity room for women and their families who need a place of peace and quiet. So we have to sort of take care of the financial obligations there. But also, we give what we call sunshine bags to anyone who's newly diagnosed with breast cancer. For example, even if you live in Las Vegas, I had a friend who was in Las Vegas, and Sisters Network sent her a sunshine bag because she was newly diagnosed with breast cancer. And using
oh, wow.
that bag, there's a Susan Love book, you know. And also, we provide financial support for women in treatment and their families. When they come to us and are in need of some financial help. And so, therefore, also the money is also helping us to purchase and provide breast health literature that we give out at the monthly meetings that Carlene mentioned and the materials that we'll be giving out at the community health fairs. So in addition to coming out to support us, we continue to need the financial support of the Richmond community.
phenomenal. So listeners, you can hear how your contributions will be a benefit. You can hear and you can see how your contributions will be of benefit. And again, as I mentioned, all three of our guests that are here are survivors, cancer survivors, and giving back, turning around and giving back and helping someone, you know, someone else. So I'd love to hear actually from each one of you just what you would say to those that have either been diagnosed or they have family members that have a diagnosis, just any encouragement that you would say to them. And we'll start with Ms. Hamlin. Any encouraging words you would say to someone who's just been diagnosed or they have a family member who's been diagnosed?
Yes, I would say to them, get all your facts together. Ask the doctor plenty of questions. Plenty of questions and share that. Always take somebody else with you to the doctor.
That's good.
And also, and do some deep praying. That's the only way you're going to make it, is ask God to help you. And don't
Amen.
Leave nothing unsaid and untold. Tell your partner how you're feeling. Share a lot and pray together. That's
Amen.
What I tell.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hamlin. Thank you so much. Ms. Wilkins, what encouragement or advice would you say to that person that may be listening?
Well, that's the same way I feel, because I know when I was diagnosed, I was in another state, and I had a lot of family support, and that's what you
mm-hmm.
need, family support.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you live in the Richmond area, I'm also in the house from 10 to 2. And they can come and talk to me, and we can go upstairs and to the Serenity Room. Or if they want to go up and be by themselves. Because you have to have the faith that the Lord is going to bring you through. I mean, you know, breast cancer is... it's bad, but you got to know how to pray and ask
yeah.
the Lord to bring you through it. You got to
it's
have the faith.
It's devastating, but anyone can make it.
Yes.
As
yes.
long as you have faith.
Uh-huh.
Like she said.
And,
mm-hmm.
and support, and family support.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and family support. And then last but not least, Ms. Brown, any additional encouraging words or advice you would give to that person that may be listening?
Well, I guess I'll have to share what happened to me when I was diagnosed. And that is that I received one of the cards that I received when I was diagnosed. It stated, "No one likes to be ill, but yet we all know it takes rain and sunshine to make flowers grow. And sometimes an illness that seems so distressing is a time of renewal and a spiritual blessing." Now, I really saw cancer as a time of renewal for me, and my
mm-hmm.
healing as a spiritual blessing has proven to be a positive influence on my attitude toward life since I was diagnosed
oh, yeah.
in 1989. And you have to be very positive. And with me personally, you know, I have been blessed with numerous opportunities to speak as a breast cancer survivor to many groups and organizations. And me personally, it's important to me that I share with other women the importance of early detection. I truly believe that early detection saved my life. But
yes.
I want newly diagnosed women to know that they can always contact Sisters Network, Central Virginia. And we are there to provide the support that you and your family might need when you are newly diagnosed.
Amen. Beautifully said by all of our guests today. Thank you so much for just taking a few minutes of your time to join us to share about Saturday, September 24th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the first community health fair, Bill
yes.
Robinson
mm-hmm.
Recreational Park.
Recreational Park.
Right. Yes, 825 North 35th Street in the beautiful Richmond, Virginia. A $20 registration will cover your T-shirt if you get there early, continental breakfast, and lunch. And so come on
and
out.
And entertainment.
And entertain, so Kids Zone, mobile mammogram, jazz, gospel. It's a true community event, and so we want to let our listeners know about it, and we want you all to join. So thank you, ladies, so much for stopping by the show.
Oh, thanks
well,
for
thanks
having
for
us.
Having us.
Okay, thank
you.
For,
are
you
well
know,
welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, you
thank
are
you.
Welcome.
You have a great evening.
You do as well. All right, listeners, that's going to be a wrap for today's show. I'm telling you what, survivors all throughout the whole entire show here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. If you missed any portion, don't worry. You can go back to charvette.com and listen to it and listen again and share the link with a friend and say, hey, you need to come to this this event that's helping our community, and you need to pick up Dr. Nikita Garris-Watson's book. You need to grab that. And as always, we thank all of our listeners that are tuning in from all across the World Wide Web. We're going to have more phenomenal shows for you next week, and we want you to keep it locked here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show and keep checking back with us. We love you guys.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.